more than a pleasure to have joining us the Director of Organizing for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, North America's strongest and most diverse labor union. Mr. Jeff Farmer joins us. Mr. Farmer, thank you for being with us. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you very much, Leslie. It's great to be here.
I am in Los Angeles. I am very familiar with people who work on the ports or the rails or are drivers. And we are right where I'm sitting. I'm less than 3 hours, if I got in my car right now, to Mexico. So Los Angeles, where I live and where I broadcast from, and Southern California are very familiar with workers and drivers, important rail jobs especially, and others that make trips back and forth over the Mexican and U.S. border, which connect at the base of California, like I said, just a couple of hours from where I am. We have talked, maybe not you and I, but folks from the Teamsters, about something that I find despicable, which is to try and screw people over and not give them what they deserve as employees, but further to screw them over to get around it, if you will, by reclassifying their jobs. And quite frankly, it's illegal. So let's talk about this. The port and rail drivers have been, first of all, misclassified as independent contractors at XPO Cartage, Inc., and that's part of XPO Logistics, Inc. Can you tell us, so people understand who may be hearing this for the first time or that aren't as familiar with the terminology, what that misclassification represents, and if it's not only illegal but an unfair labor practice?
Well, it's a great question, the first thing I want to say is that this is a complete scam that has been perpetrated by these employers for the sole purpose, in our opinion, of just cutting corners and saving vast amount of money, but essentially shifting the costs onto the backs of working drivers and the public. And I think it's important that both, when we talk about, you know, what the drivers themselves have to go through in terms of their exploitation, the long hours, they're essentially tied to one company, but the company refuses to classify them as employees. But what that also does is that while it limits the driver's ability to earn a living, it also shifts these costs onto the public. So like unemployment compensation, workers' compensation, all those costs are borne by either the driver or the public. And we're in a situation where, you know, these companies, you know, are laughing all the way to the bank. Now, you know, the problem with misclassification, one of the many problems, is that not only does it shift these costs, but it also really fundamentally denies these workers their rights to organize into a labor union. And so, you know, I think nationally somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 10 to 15 million workers, you know, do not have the most basic protections of labor law, because, you know, they're so-called, you know, independent contractors. And so, but the thing that we've seen here in California that's just extraordinary is that public agencies, one after another, that have reviewed the plight of these drivers and the conditions under which they operate, every single agency has come to the same conclusion, that this is a scam, that there's no way in hell are these drivers, you know, independent. They take all their, you know, direction and orders from the company, and as a result, I think the point is, at this stage of the game, the point is clear, is that it's not a question of if they're, you know, misclassified. It's a question of what public officials are going to do about it.
I also want people to understand, when we are talking about this port, we are talking about picketing at America's largest port complex, part of the twin ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, and the Intermodal Container Transfer Facility, the ICTF. That's where trucks actually attempt to enter marine terminals and the rail yard. Am I correct in the size and what that includes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the scope of this operation here in Southern California is matched nowhere else in the country. And, you know, the figure that we use is that 40% of the goods that come into the U.S. are coming in through this port of L.A. Long Beach. So, you know, this is This is a huge economic driver certainly in California, but it really is it really is in some respects though a national issue in that at other ports, smaller ports across the country, it's a similar kind of exploitation of drivers.
And I do want to talk about that so that, you know, people understand it is an unfair labor practice. They are not only protesting the illegal job classification, but what that does is robs them of their rights as employees. Can we talk about some of those rights so people understand? Because a lot of us are hardworking people trying to put food on, you know, the table and keep a roof over our heads, clothes on our kids' backs, and buy all the extras we have to buy for school nowadays.
Right. Well, this is again, I've said that, you know, the number of different, you know, state, local, federal agencies that have looked at this issue and have all come to the same conclusion. And in a fairly groundbreaking decision, you know, in recent months, the regional office of the National Labor Relations Board, the federal agency that looks at employee relations, came to the determination that that this was in fact an unfair labor practice, in that it systematically and purposefully, did not allow workers to exercise their rights to form a union, and so they've been cited. Of course, the company has challenged that ruling. The companies have challenged that ruling, but one of the key poster childs for, you know, this kind of, you know, what we view as law breaking is XPO Logistics, and so they have been cited, it's going to be going to additional trials and so forth in a few months, but I think this is, you know, it's an important thing to understand that you know, not only is it as you say, not only are we impacting, you know, the ability of these workers and, you know, hardworking drivers to earn a living and put food on the table for their families, but it's also denying them their fundamental rights to organize and do something about it. I think we're in a situation here in the port of LA Long Beach where we need now public officials, the mayors of both cities, to step up and say, okay, enough is enough. You know, again, this is not a question of if workers are misclassified. It's a question of what we're going to do about it, you know, as political officials.
That's an excellent point. We're going to take some calls if you want to join us. You have questions or comments. We're going to take a quick break and be back with our guest. I hope you'll stay with us. Jeff Farmer, Director of Organizing for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, North America's strongest and most diverse labor union. And we're talking about port and rail drivers in the largest port complex in our nation. Pick up the phone and join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543, and go to the teamsters.org/exposed campaign. We'll talk more about it. Back with Jeff Farmer, Director of Organizing for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, North America's strongest and most diverse labor union. We are talking about the Expo Port rail drivers from Los Angeles to the U.S.-Mexico border. They're on strike over illegal job classification. They're not only striking to protest the unfair labor practices such as illegal job classification. There's retaliation. There's harassment. There's intimidation for having filed claims for wage theft with the California Labor Commissioner's Division of Labor Standards Enforcement. Now, Jeff, I've talked to Teamsters, whether it be with Taylor Farms and some other places in California that have fought this battle before and have won because the law is on the side of the employees, of the union workers, or individuals who desire to unionize because that is their legal right. So why are companies like this not only disregarding the law, but the history of the Teamsters' success fighting these very same things?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we view it as very short-sighted on their part. A quick example from right here in the port of L.A. Long Beach was when Recently, the California Labor Commission, recently ordered XPO Logistics to pay $855,000 to four drivers who had been misclassified and had been denied their proper wages, benefits, and expenses. So that's just that just represents the tip of the iceberg. If XPO's got hundreds of employees here, operating in drayage in the port of LA Long Beach, imagine the long-term costs to XPO. So we think it's very short-sighted on their part, and that it already just for I think a total of somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 drivers, the total has been a total award of $4.7 million. So, the good news is that the state, has been aggressive and has upheld the law. And, the bad news for the company is that they have a decision to make, and that's to change this, this scam of a business model, or to continue to operate and be exposed and be sued by their employees. So essentially, the way we're taking this on, Leslie, is really twofold. One is that individual workers, working at companies like XPO Logistics and in their drayage operations, are able to sue for their rightful wages and benefits. Or at the same time as we're striking, these very courageous drivers are striking their company, XPO Logistics, and we believe that eventually that kind of that 1-2 punch, if you will. We'll get this company to understand. But the one thing I do want to just quickly add about XPO Logistics is that it's not just a drayage company. It's not just operating in the ports of this country. They spent $3 billion to buy a freight company, Conway Freight, and 19,000 employees of Conway Freight are now all working under the XPO banner. In addition, they have vast warehouse holdings. So as a union, as a Teamsters union, we're taking this company on in the ports, in warehouses, and in freight. And we're running where we can, where workers are properly classified as employees, like in warehouses. We are running National Labor Relations Board elections, and we're winning. And workers are having a chance to gain a voice on the job. One other thing I have to add, and that is that. But at the same time that XPO Logistics paid $3 billion to buy Conway Freight, they spent $3.5 billion to buy a French freight company. And so this is truly a global effort on our part now. We are working with our comrades and colleagues in Belgium, in France, in the UK, and we're working under the broad banner of the International Transport Workers Federation. So this company... they ain't seen nothing yet, and we are coming after them because we believe regardless of where you work and regardless in what capacity you work for XPO Logistics, that you have an absolute right to form and join a union and to win a voice on the job.
I want to take some calls. You're okay with that to answer some questions or comments from our listeners?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Virginia, line 2, with Ishmael in Manassas. Ishmael, question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I have both. Leslie, this is a perfect example why we need union. I mean, these are ideas of the 1930s where there was no protection for the average worker. The average employee doesn't know about any labor laws, and he can be cheated. And this is a perfect example why we need union. This is a large corporation. This is not a small company at all. And it's the fact that they can do this to people. Who knows what the next company is doing. So this is a perfect example that we need union, and this is exactly what the Koch brothers want, what the ALEC and Heritage Foundation pushing through all the country for the right to work state laws. So this is a perfect example why we need union. And if anybody doesn't think that, look at this case and tell me otherwise.
That's a very good point, and did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, no, thank you, Ishmael. That's a tremendous point. And here's the thing, that if workers were given an opportunity to decide for themselves without coercion and fear and intimidation, by their employer, we're convinced as a labor movement that you know, millions and millions of workers would take that opportunity and join our union or other unions. The problem is that these employers think it's their right to interfere in that decision of employees. And I have to say, just recently, we have seen some examples of a decision on the part of XPO Logistics to really essentially play very, very hardball, you know, with workers who attempt to unionize. Recently, Leslie, we just won an election in Trenton, New Jersey, at a freight terminal. The workers, you know, went through that meat grinder of a process. You know, they had to listen to all the anti-union rhetoric and so forth from the company and the union busters that the company hired. Ultimately, they stuck together, they voted, and they won. It was a relatively small group, and what we saw in the immediate aftermath of that successful vote on the part of those workers was that three long-term employees with stellar track records, of stellar safe driving records and what have you, were terminated. What did those three workers have in common? They were members of the organizing committee that organized the union in their workplace. Now, of course, we're convinced we're going to get their jobs back. We're going to fight like hell. That process is underway. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to win those workers' rights, to get their job back. But it's a calculation on the part of this company that to break the law is advantageous. We're gonna do everything in our power to. But that's an example of, you know, Ishmael's absolutely right. Workers need a union. Workers want a union. And in this country, unfortunately, that always doesn't mean that they're gonna get a union.
And, you know, politics don't help when people try and demonize, unions for their own political gain. But I want to talk about politics just briefly with regard to a theme. And one of the things that we see, whether a person's a Democrat, Republican, or something else, regardless of who they vote for, is they're tired of income inequality. They're tired of the rich getting richer and the middle class getting screwed. And I want to point out, when these workers at the ports, when these companies, freight and warehouse workers, all of them, they're struggling financially. Yet Bradley Jacobs, who is the CEO, he continues to make millions of dollars on the very backs of these laborers, of these middle-class, hardworking Americans. I want to point that out because, you know, this is something where whether somebody's part of a union, whether they're pro-union or not, nobody is pro the bad guy making more money and the good, hard working class, middle class workers getting screwed time and time again.
Right. No, this, and you rightly point out, Leslie, this guy, Bradley Jacobs, the CEO, is really, in some respects, almost a caricature of corporate greed. Because what we've seen, I'll give you a quick example. Workers in North Haven, Connecticut, warehouse workers who are struggling and barely making a living wage, in some cases making as little as $11 an hour, working in an XPO warehouse in Connecticut. They got together as co-workers and they said, we need to do something about it. They decided to form a union. They decided to work with our union, the Teamsters. What Bradley Jacobs, his headquarters is in Connecticut. So he came to this little warehouse operation on three successive occasions. In a chauffeur-driven Cadillac, he comes and tells these warehouse workers that $11 an hour is the going rate. That's what they can afford to pay. And if you don't like it, you can find a job elsewhere. That kind of corporate arrogance and just disrespect is just outrageous. This, of course, happens at the same time that he has orchestrated and maneuvered his own hand-picked board of directors to essentially enable himself to win a 451% salary increase and with associated benefits and whatever over a very short period of time. This guy is essentially doing all he can to line his own pockets at the same time that workers are struggling to make a living.
And his pay has increased 997% just amazing. I mean, you look at this company, XPO Logistics, they're globally publicly traded, globally.
Yep.
They, you know, would they have their subsidiaries together, one of the top trucking companies that service the ports of LA and Long Beach. And they have customers. I mean, they're not going out of business anytime soon. So it's not like they're crying poor. Obviously, I mean, it's pulling up, like you said, you know, in that and those types of wheels. Toyota, BMW, Procter & Gamble, Sony, these are just some of the companies. I also want to point out so that people understand, we're not talking about a handful. We're talking of over 100,000 misclassified short-haul truck drivers. That doesn't include everybody. I mentioned just the truck drivers over 100,000, correct?
Yeah, it's a vast you know, workforce that you know services the ports of the U.S. and again, as you pointed out earlier, you know, Long Beach, L.A. is kind of the epicenter, and so we believe that if we can, you know, change this unfair system, you know, here in Southern California, that it will be a contribution, you know, to winning, you know, in the fight for, you know, workers' wages and equality, all across the nation. But I just want to stress again, you know, how excited we are to work with our allies and, you know, and colleagues in the rest of the world. You know, XPO, while it's based in, you know, in Connecticut, is a global player. And so we're working with these global unions, and we're all in this together. At a shareholder meeting, the company attempted to create a division between the Teamsters Union and the European unions by saying that, you know, well, we have a good relationship with our European unions, but we think the Teamsters are out of control. The response on the part of the European unions was to say this, that if you're not talking to the Teamsters, you're not talking to us, that we are together as family in this fight, and we intend to, you know, to win not only in our individual countries, but we intend to win worldwide. So that, you know, the old expression, you know, workers of the world unite, has never been more needed or more true than it is today when we take on global employers like XPO.
And I want to reiterate some of these facts once again. These are workers at 7 locations. There are 6 freight terminals, 1 warehouse that have formed. They formed their union as Teamsters despite the XPO, as you had mentioned. They spend, what, hundreds of thousands of dollars that hire $3,000 a day union busters. And despite that, I mean, this is guts. These are people that want their job, love their job, want to be a part of this union, and love the Teamsters and what the Teamsters does for them. And the company continues to attempt to deny the workers their right to organize. So I want to point that out once again. $3,000, they're saying we can only pay you $11 an hour. Well, we'll pay people, union busters, $3,000 a day to fight your legal right to unionize.
Sure. Yeah. And let me just tell you a quick story out of our freight organizing. Can you imagine, you know, like, you know, those, you know, we all work, you know, like our normal work days or sometimes longer. But imagine what these XPO drivers have had to put up with. Not only the fear and intimidation created by these union busters and these captive audience meetings or whatever, but they've actually done, you know, full shift ride-alongs. So you're a driver of a truck, and you have somebody sitting next to you now from the company whose sole mission is to persuade you, to browbeat you into being anti-union, and to intimidate you as you spend your entire workday having this, you know, having this, this other individual in the cab with you. It's outrageous. And these kinds of tactics, you know, are intimidating. You know, they're unfair. But the absolute incredible thing here, as you point out, Leslie, is that despite all that, you know, these workers, you know, stuck to their guns. They committed to each other, and they carried out and they won. Now here's the problem, is that, you know, under the, you know, this system of labor law, these companies, while they fight the union and the workers' interests, you know, in the organizing process, then they also try to if they lose, as XPO has done, then they try to delay the process of negotiating a contract. They try to drag out the, you know, and perhaps you know, file objections to the election or whatever they can do, you know, quote unquote legally to delay, you know, the inevitable. And so, you know, not only do these workers have to stick together during the organizing process, but that, they have to stick together and win, you know, their first contract and so forth. So, but we're, you know, the good news is that we are at the table now. Literally, I mean, today as we talk, the warehouse workers I mentioned in North Haven, Connecticut, are sitting across the table from their employer, negotiating their first contract, and you know, they're sticking together. And we're seeing that in the freight terminals as well.
That's excellent.
XPO can only do so much. They can only go so far in trying to stop the process of and the desires of these workers. And you know, they have a strong ally in us, and we are just every single day impressed by their courage and determination.
We are too, Jeff, and we thank you for taking the time. I know you're quite busy. Jeff Farmer, Director of Organizing for the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Some information here. The website for the XPO Exposed campaign is teamster.org/exposed. teamster.org/exposed. Go to their Facebook page, like it, read more about it on the campaign there on facebook.com/X. XPO, we are Expo. That's XPO, Expo, we are Expo. So EXPO, we are XPO. And then for the Teamsters, visit teamster.org. Maybe you want more information, not just on this, but maybe you're looking to unionize or get a great job with the most wonderful organization that has your back, the Teamsters. Follow them on Twitter @Teamsters. Like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Teamsters.